I speak to you today in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Mother of us all. Please be seated. At Christmas, we celebrate the birth of a Savior. In the Christmas season, we celebrate that God came to join us, to be in the flesh, to be with us, walk with us, and love us. Christmas is about celebrating the arrival of God. And the season of Epiphany, the season we are in now, follows right after. If Christmas is about celebrating the arrival of God, then Epiphany is about seeing what God's arrival means for us. Epiphany is about seeing, feeling, and tasting God's love that we receive on Christmas. And it's about seeing how this love makes a difference for us in our daily lives. And we see, feel, and taste that love as we walk with Jesus and see what Jesus is all about when he begins his ministry after his baptism. Last Sunday, we celebrated Jesus' baptism, and today we hear how Jesus demonstrates his first public sign that he is the Messiah. Jesus' first act and sign that he gives showing he is the Messiah is different in the four gospel accounts. In today's gospel, according to John, we hear of how Jesus' first sign is to turn water into wine. Today we're with Jesus, his mother, and his disciples at a wedding in Cana. And it's important to note that weddings in Jesus' time lasted about a week. And it was customary, as we heard, for the host to serve the best wine at the beginning of the wedding festivities when everyone could still taste and appreciate what they were drinking. Midway through a wedding, however, days after days of celebrating and drinking, no host would give out their best wine. They pulled out the cheap stuff to give to their guests because, well, at that point in the party, the guests were less likely to care about what they were drinking. On day three of the wedding, Mary, the mother of Jesus, notices the host has already run out of wine and they're only midway through the wedding. With a funny and sarcastic exchange between Jesus and his mother, Jesus decides to follow his mother's request and help remedy the problem. And he does this not just by making some wine appear. He does this by turning six water jugs, each holding 20 to 30 gallons of water into wine. That's roughly 120 to 180 gallons of wine. And he doesn't just turn this large amount of water into simple box wine. He turns these many gallons of water into the finest wine, the best wine. The story is fun and it's surprising. And we might ask ourselves, why did the gospel writer want us to know this story of Jesus? Why was this Jesus' first sign in the Gospel of John, the first miracle he uses to demonstrate who he is and what he has come to do? Was Jesus showing off? Maybe. Was Jesus a partier? Probably a little bit. Was Jesus simply doing his mother something his mother asked him to do? Yeah. But there's also this. Jesus made the finest wine appear in abundance, out of nowhere, in a time when everyone least expected it, in a time when most would agree that the guests least deserved it, seeing as how they had already been drinking for days. And this first sign in the Gospel of John is Jesus' first sign because it tells us something very important about the nature of our God. It tells us about God's abundant grace. Have you ever received a lavish gift for no reason whatsoever? Have you ever been forgiven when you felt you least deserved it? Have you ever received love and kindness for no apparent reason out of nowhere? These are examples of grace. Those moments when unconditional kindness, compassion, and love comes to us out of nowhere, for no apparent reason, when we feel we least deserve it. God's abundant grace is like gallons of the finest wine in the middle of a wedding party. God's abundant grace comes to us over and over again, whether or not we deserve it, oftentimes when we least expect it. And when it comes lavishly and abundantly. This is what our Messiah came to show us. Jesus came to show us what God's grace looks like, what God's grace tastes like and feels like. Jesus came to show us the quality of God's abundant grace. And he also came to show us the role we have in sharing God's grace abundantly with the world. It's important to note that at the end of our passage today, after witnessing this miracle, the servants and the disciples saw what had happened and believed in Jesus. Jesus wasn't doing this to show off or to make a scene. He was demonstrating what he came to do, and he demonstrated it to the servants, the outsiders, and the marginalized, and to his disciples as well, the ones who would follow him and carry on his work after he leaves. As if to say to those servants, God has come to be with you, to give you grace abundant, because you are precious in God's eyes and all are deserving of God's abundant grace. And to the disciples, he says, look at what God's abundant grace looks like, tastes like. You too will make this abundance of God's grace flow out for this world. Come and follow me, and I will show you how. And they did follow him. And so do we, which is why we are here this morning. And many have followed Jesus in his footsteps to share grace abundantly with the world. Tomorrow is Martin Luther King Jr. Day, the day we celebrate a man who was a preacher, a father, a husband, a Christian, a social justice and civil rights leader, a man who was discriminated against, jailed, and abused because of the color of his skin and because he had a radical vision for the world. Dr. King was, like us, a follower of Jesus. And in his witness to following Jesus, he gave the world an understanding of what it means to have faith in God's abundant grace. He modeled for us how to give grace to those who don't deserve it, even to one's enemies, even to those who least expected and deserved it. And he did this over and over and over again, and he preached this over and over again because he followed Jesus. He believed in the possibility of God's abundant grace, and he followed the call Jesus has given us to share this grace abundantly with others. Dr. King believed in God's love, in forgiveness, in peace, and the possibility of new life for our country and for humanity. And he stood by his faith and modeled for us a faith journey of service. For it was through service to others that Dr. King could pour out God's abundant grace on this world, much like Jesus did. Dr. King believed this world was worthy of redemption, and that God's abundant grace and unconditional love was the key to heal our brokenness. In an essay by Dr. King entitled Man's Sin and God's Grace, he writes this. In the midst of man's awful predicament, in the midst of his awful inclination towards sin, God has come into the picture and has done something about it. That's the beauty of our faith. It says that standing over and against the tragic dimensions of sin is the glorious dimension of God's grace. Where sin abounds, God's grace abounds even more exceedingly. God's abundant grace saves and continues to save us, And Jesus came to show us this grace, what it looks like, what it tastes like and feels like. And he came to show us the role we have in sharing God's grace with others. Jesus came to show us what we were capable of, that we are capable of greatness, capable of sharing God's unconditional love and abundant grace with a broken world, that we are capable of helping God heal that brokenness. In a sermon Dr. King gave in February of 1968, he says this: "We have a new definition of greatness in our faith. It means that everybody can be great, because everybody can serve one another. You don't have to have a college degree to serve. You don't have to make your subject and your verb agree to serve. You don't have to know about Plato and Aristotle to serve. You don't have to know Einstein's theory of relativity to serve. And you don't have to know the second theory of thermodynamics in physics to serve. You need only a heart full of grace, a soul generated by love, and you can be that servant." I'll repeat that last line. You only need a heart full of grace, a soul generated by love, and you can be that servant. In this season of Epiphany, as we witness Jesus turn gallons of water into the finest wine in the middle of a wedding celebration, as we taste and see God's abundant grace, may we find the courage to serve and share God's abundant grace with this broken world. As we watch the world struggle and cry out today, may we intercede as Jesus calls us to do, as Dr. King and other faithful leaders have modeled for us. May we have the courage to intercede with God's love and grace and help to heal the suffering. We are followers of Jesus. We are capable of greatness through our service to others, and we can help heal the suffering of this broken world. You only need a heart full of grace, a soul generated by love, and you can be that servant. Amen.